I'm going to read the scriptures. We're reading from Acts 6 and 1 to 7, and then Chris is going to come and share with us. In these days, when a number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, that's the apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. And so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith.
Well, good morning, everybody. I was asked to give a talk on mission. Hey, that word's come up already this morning. Mission by meeting people's needs. And having been given that passage in Acts chapter 6, the key word that popped out for me was the people, those widows, were overlooked. And I'm going to be looking at people who are overlooked. So those widows in our reading, they were being totally overlooked in the daily distribution of food. It doesn't exactly explain why, but the passage says they're Greek-speaking or Hellenistic. They probably spoke a bit differently, dressed a bit differently, or they were just generally a little bit different from the Jews in Jerusalem. Do you know, I've realised it's so easy to overlook people, isn't it? For instance, and I know I'm as guilty as of doing this as anyone, sometimes we come into church, we go into the coffee room there, and we think, oh, I must just speak to so-and-so. And so you go and have a little chat. And then you see somebody else. Oh, yes, I must just check something with them. And you have these little chats, and then you come into this worship area, and you sit down, and you find a friend to sit next to, and you sit down, and you start to enjoy a nice bit of worship, which we normally get first, a nice bit of worship, and we settle down there. And then if you're lucky, you might get a good sermon as well. And we totally overlook the fact that actually there's somebody that crept into church and might be sitting somewhere at the back or somewhere. They've crept in on their own. They don't know anyone, because perhaps they've just moved here, or perhaps they're just seeking for God at this time. And we go out and leave the church, and they might not have been spoken to by anybody, because they're just a little bit different to us, maybe. We didn't quite know how to approach them. We didn't know what to say to them. And so we just go out and don't speak to them at all. And that's really not the way that Jesus wants us to live. He wants us to be missional people and not sort of hiding away and relaxing. You know, Jesus, when he lived on earth, he didn't overlook anyone. In Matthew chapter 8, he didn't overlook a man with leprosy who approached him. Now, leprosy is still in the world, but I guess it was treated a bit like Johann's woman with HIV. You know, he wasn't supposed to go into the village. He wasn't supposed to approach people. But he went up to Jesus and he said, "Please heal me." And Jesus didn't sort of walk on by or ignore him. He actually went up to him and touched him and healed him. And that's how Jesus approaches people. He doesn't get shy. He doesn't think, "I don't know what to say." He just gets on and does it. In Mark chapter 5, we read that he didn't overlook the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. And this woman, she reached out to touch his cloak, hoping to be healed. And he sensed that power had gone, he sensed that power had gone out of him, and turned round in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes? Who was that?" And the disciples were going, "Lord Jesus, you're surrounded by all these people pressing against you, and you ask, who touched you?" Well, eventually the woman came in fear and trembling and fell at his feet and confessed everything. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." Be free from your suffering. And he didn't ignore people. He still doesn't ignore people. The event that happened in our reading today probably took place within the first year after the day of Pentecost. Jesus, by that time, had died, been raised from the dead, had ascended into heaven, and then 10 days later, there were 120 people gathered together in an upper room, and suddenly they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to glorify God in other languages. And also the Holy Spirit empowered them to speak boldly about the gospel of God, to speak boldly about the good news of the kingdom of God. And we're told that thousands flocked to hear the message and were added to the church. We're also told that Peter and John healed a very disabled man who I think had been disabled from birth at the Gate Beautiful just outside the temple. So not only were they preaching the gospel, they were performing healing miracles, which left people in awe and wonder. I mean, what an exciting time to be in. You know, I mean, you want to go and tell everybody, do you know what happened? Not only are they preaching the gospel, all these people are coming to join with us, but we're seeing people just amazingly healed. Isn't that just amazing? And in that excitement, they overlooked that there were still some people on the fringes of things who weren't getting fed. And There were complaints that these poor, unsupported widows who had become believers but who were not local people had not been included in the daily distribution of food. And suddenly the apostles would have remembered when Jesus said to them, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the oppressed free, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion." They would have also remembered in Isaiah chapter 58 where it says, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them." And they would have also have remembered sitting on a mountain with Jesus and Jesus saying to them, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh, my word. They suddenly realized the penny dropped. This was part of their mission too, helping other people. Not just all this amazing healings and giving the gospel to people and people getting saved, but actually just basically helping people in need. I imagine it wasn't very convenient to feed those widows. They all had to tighten their belts a little bit. Everyone had to eat a little bit less in order to feed those widows. It wasn't just a simple thing of, you know, going to the supermarket or something. But they would have, even then, they would have remembered when Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Now, it's interesting that we had Johan speaking today from India, because I've got this in my notes here, that in Europe, we tend to instinctively cling to comfort, convenience, and being in control. But the Holy Spirit will sometimes ask us, his disciples, to be prepared to be uncomfortable, inconvenienced, and way, way, way out of our comfort zone. Which was really good that we had that song about walking on the water. Yeah, because I was just like, oh yeah, that's absolutely it. You know, God wants us to walk out of our comfort zone for his sake. And you see, he never looks people who are, overlooks people who are suffering or in need. So this is part of our calling and mission as well, not just those disciples from way back then. It's part of our mission to not overlook the needy, to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, so that the needs of others might be met. So, what might those needs include today here in Chesham? Well, I decided to take a look online and I found out what people in Chesham were saying they needed before the last elections, which was quite interesting. Now, the obvious thing that people were saying was they'd like their roads mended and potholes filled in and really good infrastructure in the town and everything. But then you get another paragraph. Working families said that they were struggling here with the cost of living. They needed rents and housing costs to improve. They needed to be able to feed their children. And they also asked for good, safe places to take their children that were not too expensive. They asked for more and better access to the food bank. And they were very grateful for Chesham Community Fridge. Yay! Chesham Community Fridge was mentioned in that list before the elections. Now, I want to tell you something. Community Fridge started with just one person getting passionate about food waste. Absolutely passionate. Not sure if she's here today. No, can't see it, no. But I can remember sitting in house group next to that person, and they turned to me and they said, "Chris, I'm just getting really, really passionate about this, and I really want to do something about all the food waste, the amount of food that's getting wasted in supermarkets. The supermarkets are just throwing out food simply because it's surplus food and it's still perfectly good to eat, and it just gets chucked in the skip and left there to rot." So from that one person, she then developed a committee and set up Chesham Community Fridge. That one person in our church pioneered and headed up Chesham Community Fridge because she wanted to get that perfectly good food passed to anyone who would like it, so that good food was not wasted. And it wasn't originally to meet the needs of the poor, but gradually word spread in the town to those who didn't have much money, who were really hard up and struggling. And now every time the community fridge is open, twice a week, There is a long, 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 long queue goes out round the corner into the car park, and people are getting fed who wouldn't have been able to afford good food. So just to say, Chesham Community Fridge Committee are always keen to have more volunteers. Because there's a lot of organisation and hard work. So if this interests you, go and speak to Jill or Anne or Clem. Can't see them. Up there, yeah. Okay, go and speak to them, any of them. Jill's down the front here. Because they always need helpers. But the thing is, perhaps there are also other ways that we as a church or as individuals can reach out to hard-up families in our community, or indeed, actually, refugees who have come from a long way. Who or what are we overlooking, or have we overlooked? Is the Holy Spirit prompting us that there is more he wants us to do? More he wants us to do? You know, my experience of the Holy Spirit is that he is creative and pioneering and just longing for us to partner with him. And it's interesting what Josh said about the baptismal water flowing and everything, because I have a vision of needy people queuing out at the front of the building, going out and down the pavement, waiting for whatever it is we as a body have to offer. Another interesting statistic I picked up when I was reading about the elections. In 2025, there were approximately 30 people in South Bucks living rough outdoors every night. And there are many hundreds more in temporary accommodation, or what they call sofa surfing. Do you know what I mean by sofa surfing? You sleep on a sofa for 3 nights and then you move on to somebody else. And during the daytime, you just walk around, you know, doing whatever you do, but then you go back to sofa surf somewhere else the next night. And this includes families with young children. This isn't just individuals. Families with young people, as young children as well. Is there anything we're being called to do to support these hidden, overlooked ones in our community? So what other things could we maybe be offering? Now, some churches in Chesham open their doors and run cafes. Some people, I think there's at least two churches that do lunches for children during the school holidays or after school, things like that. There's another church that actually has a defibrillator outside it and teaches people how to use it, because if somebody has a heart attack in the street, then you know that there's a defibrillator just around the corner to help them. Do we have anything like this end of the Chesham? Because this is right up the north of Chesham I'm thinking of. There is a crisis. Another thing is there is a crisis among young people at this time. Many are suffering deep anxiety about their lives. And who can blame them, quite honestly? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us about our young people? Not just our church young people in the town. Another thing that crossed my mind is there is no longer a laundrette in town, as far as I know. What happens if someone is really struggling in life and they lose their washing facilities, or they, you know, whatever they've been using before breaks down? They can't go to the laundrette anymore. So I'm going to stop now, because I don't have all the answers and I don't have all the ideas, but you guys do. And you'll see on the side, there's a couple on this side and on the other side, there's some stripy sort of boxes with bits of paper in and some pencils. And up in the balcony, I think Di's going to hand round some bits of paper as well. So I want you to just think for a minute, and you can discuss with your neighbour if you like. I want you to think, What do we need in Chesham at this time? What do you see as a need for people in Chesham? How could we help in some way? What do you feel called to? What might the Lord, what might the Holy Spirit be saying to you now? I want you to write some things down, write something down, and then put it back in the boxes, and then somebody can bring them forward, and they can all go into this bag here at the front, which says, to be or not to be. That is the question. I thought that was really valid, actually. Is mission going to be something that we do? Is meeting the needs of other people something that we are going to do? Is that going to be or not to be? Okay, so eventually I'd like all those boxes to come down to the front, and they will be read in due course. And put your name on if you're really committed to this, because it might be that there's three or four others in the church who are also thinking the same thing. So put your name on, and then you can be grouped together, or you can exchange names. Okay? And then there's one last thing. I've run out of time. I've overrun my time, I know. I've just been sensing, before I even came here this morning, I was sensing there is at least one person here who's feeling a tug from the Holy Spirit, feeling a call to go overseas and serve somewhere overseas. And if that's you, make sure you come up to the front and speak to somebody, okay? So, go and get your pieces of paper. There's a few pencils there. Think about what is the Holy Spirit saying to you. Then write something down, and then it can gradually filter through to my bag at the front. Bless you all.